Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. I'm so excited because this week is FinCon. This is my favorite conference probably in the world. So what FinCon is for anybody that's interested in personal finance or even becoming a blogger or podcaster like I do, it's amazing. So it's a bunch of personal finance people get together, talk about money, have really meaningful conversations, and ultimately we get to learn new strategies that are really fun and interactive and help our businesses grow further. So I am so excited to join in that party. I'm going to be speaking there, and then I'm also going to be at the parties and just having a good time. That's kind of what this conference is all about. So tons of fun. I'm very excited, and I will share with you guys anything that I think is really meaningful to you and could help you along with your financial journey as well. All right, we are in for a real treat. I got the chance to talk with Deacon Hayes, who is the founder of Well Kept Wallet. It's a really popular blog. Many of you have probably listened to it or heard of it at some point in your life. But before we dive into Deacon's story, I want to share my favorite segment, which is our That's a drum roll in case you didn't notice. Our favorite segment is Money Wins. This one came from Ashley in our private Facebook group. Ashley says, my 401k went up over $300 in 2 weeks with a personal return of nearly 12%. Hashtag money win. Ashley, that is so amazing. Congrats on the return. I would take $300 every 2 weeks any day of my life. That's incredible. And that's really, really cool. Thanks for sharing that with us all. And also, I want to do a huge shout out to, it's a gal on Instagram that goes by the @inspired_mommy. That's her handle. And I am so grateful to connect with this lady. She is amazing. She shared so much podcast love that it was very meaningful. And I want you guys to all go check her out if you haven't already, @inspired_mommy. She's definitely working on her financial journey as well. Very inspirational stuff there. All right, guys, let's dive into today's episode. Today's episode was with Deacon Hayes, the founder of WellKeptWallet.com, and now the author of You Can Retire Early. He's been featured in many news publications, including Yahoo Finance, U.S. News and World Report, Investopedia, and CNN Money. He's best known for paying off $52,000 of debt in just 18 months and is now on track to retire at 42 years old. What? Right? I know. That's exactly what I said. When I heard 42 years old and being retired, immediately I was a little bit jealous. That's pretty cool stuff. He has helped thousands of people develop a financial game plan so that they can achieve their financial goals in life. And his book, You Can Retire Early, is basically a direct blueprint of how to do that. It's really cool. In this episode, we talk about going from floor salesman when he was selling hardwood floors and that kind of stuff, and his wife was a teacher, to paying off over $52,000 in just 18 months. We talk about what he's doing to be able to retire at 42 years old, writing his book, side hustles that anyone can do, and best ways to make extra money on the weekends. He also goes into really practical financial tips that I think you guys are going to appreciate and like as well. And guys, just so you know, Deacon's having a special offer too. His book, You Can Retire Early, is available for pre-order through November 6th. Any of the listeners who pre-order his book will also get access to his $97 course, debt-free in 18 months, completely for free $99. So go check it out. You can find all of that information at wellkeptwallet.com/retire. Okay, enough of this. Let's dive into today's guest. I am so excited to introduce you guys to Deacon Hayes from wellkeptwallet.com. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. Today I am joined by one of my online friends, Deacon Hayes from Well Kept Wallet and newly author of You Can Retire Early. Deacon, I'm so excited to chat with you. Thanks so much for joining in.
Thanks, Whitney. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
So I'm stoked to talk with you about a couple different things. First, your new book, and we're going to dive into that quite a bit. But I understand you have a really cool giveaway for our listeners today, which we will totally dive into. But before we get into all the goodness of what you're up to now, take us back. How did you get involved with personal finance? What was that spark for you? How did you get to this point?
Sure. When my wife and I got married, we got married back during like the recession, right? So it wasn't the best time in the market. And I was selling wood floors. And my wife was a teacher. So my job was 100% commission. And my wife made very little money because she was just starting out teaching. So we put together our finances and we realized that we had $52,000 in debt outside of mortgage debt. And so for us being in our 20s, we're like, holy cow, this is a lot of debt to deal with. How are we going to do this? So, you know, I'm a big fan of learning from people who've been successful. So I started reading a lot of blogs, books, and figuring out like how can we tackle this debt in a short period of time? And so one of the things I came across was SMART goals. And just so I decided, hey, I'm going to set a goal of a deadline, 18 months, which sounds ridiculous, right? Let's pay our $52,000 in debt off in 18 months. But the cool thing about that was it then gave us a destination to work towards, right? Like, okay, how do we get there? Well, I've got this car and it's brand new and it's $18,000 of the debt. Even though it's upside down, I wonder if we could sell my wife's car, which was worth $5,000, buy two beater cars and pay off the other car by selling it, you know? And so that's what we did. And so we got rid of, you know, almost $400 in monthly payments there, which was a huge win. We started using the debt snowball. We paid off all $52,000 in debt in 18 months. And that was like the beginning of the journey of, wow, personal finance is actually fun. Like there's something to this, right?
Dude, okay. You glossed over something that is so critical. And that's that you sold the two cars and bought, or sold the car and bought two beaters. Okay. That for a lot of people is really freaking hard. Did you guys go through that too, where you're like, what are we doing? This is our car. Talk to me about that process.
Yeah. So, I mean, initially it was cool because this is back when like they had the push button start, you know, like was just coming in. And so like I always had a key, right? And so I had this Nissan Altima and I would just press the button and it would start, you know, and it's like, it was totally different where, you know, the beater car, like it was a Lexus, but it was a really old Lexus. And so the door on the right, you had to open from the inside. You couldn't open it on the outside. There was no antenna. Like my cup holder was broken. I couldn't get it to come out. Like there's all these things about it. But the reality was, is our why was so strong, right? We were so like, hey, we don't want to be straddled by debt for the rest of our lives. We don't want to live like most people live, you know, that we could see at that time. We wanted to kind of get out from underneath that and we wanted to do it quickly. And so driving the beater cars and going through that process was, you know, maybe not as hard as it could have been because we were so dedicated to our plan.
Do you think that's important for people to go through the process of maybe driving a crappier car or living a lesser life in the short run? Do you think that's an important piece?
I do, because I think for us, it makes you appreciate things so much more, right? Like going from having a push button start car with a full surround sound system with tweeters, you know, to like a car that, you know, I had to basically like every time I got in, I had to open the door from the inside for someone to be able to come in the passenger side, you know, like it made me appreciate, wow, like this, having a car with four doors that are functional is nice, you know? And now what's funny, I drive an Infiniti, but it's an 05, so it's 12 years old, and it still has its quirks, right? Like I don't have remote control entry, you know? So like, but you know, then I call the dealer and it's like $300 to get a remote control that programs because it's a chip key and all this stuff. And I'm like, forget it. I'm not going to do it. So, you know, I don't even open my car remotely right now. I use a key, even though I could afford it. It's kind of one of those things where like, I don't know, I'm just used to it, you know?
Yeah. I think it's smart and I'm with you. I drive a 2001 Toyota Celica and I love that car. It is like my car. And people are like, are you going to buy a new car? And I think it's funny because people that are not in personal finance might look at that and be like, are you broke? Can you not afford a car? What's going on? But it's quite the opposite. So how much did you guys spend for the two beater cars?
It was under $5,000, actually. I want to say it was around $3,750. We bought the Honda Accord for like $1,250 and it needed work. And then my car, I think, was around 2,500 at the time. So the goal was, let's buy it for less than the $5,000. So we have some money to, you know, we knew that there's going to be tires that need to be replaced, or, you know, oil that needs to be changed, brakes, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's what that looked like.
That's amazing. Do you recall, so what was the debt composed of at that time? So 52,000, there was some car loan. What was the other part of it?
Yeah, so I'd say it was about $18,000 of the car loan. $27,000 was student loans, and then the rest was credit card debt.
Gotcha.
So I want to say it's around $7,000 or so.
Okay.
And we lumped the student loans in there because we realized that was another thing that you know, was another monthly payment that we didn't want to have, right? And during that time, you know, interest rates weren't that great, so it was one of those things that if we could pay it off fast, then you know, we would have more money to work with to do other things like travel and retirement and those type of things.
What was that turning point for you? So when you finally decided, you and your wife, we're going to pay off all this debt, we're sick of these monthly payments, what caused that? What was that moment?
You know, I think, so my wife and I both had parents that weren't really good with money, you know, and so my parents filed bankruptcy separately and have houses foreclosed on separately. And my wife's parents were, you know, towards retirement age, and they didn't have any money saved up whatsoever. And they had a lot of debt, like $400,000 in debt. And so we just realized, we're like, gosh, we see that future and we just don't want to go there, right? So how can we avoid that now? And so, you know, we just worked together as a team to figure out how to make that happen in, you know, the shortest time possible.
That's so cool. And so life growing up for you, you said your parents weren't very good with money. So I presume they didn't talk with you about money. So how did you start to get your education?
Really, it's kind of what Zig Ziglar calls automobile university, you know, back when CDs were a thing, you know, like you put a CD in a car and start listening. So yeah, I you know, it's funny, in high school, I hated to read. And now I read like a book a week or a book every 2 weeks, and I don't read it. I actually listen to it. So what I figured out is I'm an auditory learner. So, you know, back in high school, I hated it because I'd have to sit down with the book in my hands and I'd have to actually like read something, where now I can actually go, I would drive in the car and listen. I can walk and listen, you know, I could exercise and listen. So it's a little bit more palatable and easier for me to do. So really learning from people like Dave Ramsey, Ronald Blue, Larry Burkett, and then even, you know, a lot of online guys, you know, you have like PT Money or Jeff Rose or, you know, guys like that just really have a heart to help people figure out how to manage money.
I think that's cool. And I think you're touching on a few key points too. And that's, you do need to know what your style of education is. Are you the auditory learner? Do you have to physically sit down and read the book? I think that's important too. So I like that you shared that. When you were listening to the CDs, roughly how old were you at that time?
Mid-20s.
Okay. Okay. So it wasn't like you were this nerdy kid in high school that was listening to all the Zig Ziglar stuff.
No. And, yeah, it's funny. I think it was John Maxwell that I started out with, and he's more of like a leadership guy. So he's not even like a personal finance guy, but it was that self-improvement, right? Like, how do you figure out how to just be more productive, be better, help people more, and just live a more fulfilling life, you know? And then it kind of morphed into listening to personal finance materials.
Was that helpful when you were paying off debt too, to have the inspirational materials?
Oh yeah. Because I think the thing is it seems kind of, if you're in a silo, right? Like, and especially if people are single, it can seem really hard, right? And so it's almost like not a support system, but you have input that's coming into you saying like, hey, you can do this. Here's some roadmap to make it happen. Like, keep at it, you know? And so that I think is huge.
I love that. I think that's so cool. So when you were going through the process of paying off the debt, you sold the cars. What other types of sacrifices did you guys make?
You know, eating out was a big thing for us. Like, we love to go just to restaurants and, you know, like, hey, let's go to Chipotle or whatever. And so we had to really cut back on that. And we put a number to it. And I forget what it was, but let's just say once a month or twice a month, right? We'd say instead of, you know, five times a week or three times a week. And, you know, vacations, like I had a couple friends get married out of the country. And, you know, how cool is it? One got married in Norway and one got married in the Czech Republic. And I'm like, gosh, I would love to go to Norway or I'd love to go to Czech Republic. But you start doing the math and you're like, okay, plane tickets, hotel, food, train. It's like, we can't afford that. You know, it's like, I love you guys. So when you get back to the US, we'll celebrate with you, but we're not going. So
we'll buy off the dollar menu, man.
Yeah.
We gotcha.
So, yeah, so it was things like that where it's like, hey, every financial decision we made, we knew would impact our ability to pay off our debt or not, you know, so we were very conscious of that.
And I love that you said, too, that you mentioned the debt snowball. So if somebody listening has never heard of the debt snowball, can you like quickly explain what that is and why that's effective?
Yeah. So it's basically where we listed our debts smallest to largest. So if, you know, we had a $100 debt, that went up at the very top of the list. And then, you know, a $10,000 debt or $27,000 go at the very bottom of the list. And so the idea is, you know, we get those small wins quickly. If you pay off $100, you know, that's one less debt you have to pay, one less monthly payment. And, you know, you go from 11 debts to 10 and then you pay off the next one and then you have 9. And so you actually feel the progress, right? Where if you're starting to, if you try to pay off a $27,000 debt, you're going to feel like you're going nowhere because it's going to take forever, right? So really starting with the smallest debt, regardless of the interest rate, and then just working your way down the list. It is amazing. That's why it's called the snowball, how fast that starts to roll once you start getting it going. And so that was really effective for us.
No, it's true. It makes a big difference too, especially when you see that progress, you get those little wins, it starts to snowball and you're putting like $300 a month towards the next payment. And then pretty soon it's 500. It's amazing. It really is a good process. And is that, I mean, basically your journey of paying off all of the debt and getting your stuff together with your financial life, was that the inspiration behind your course?
Yeah, it was definitely an inspiration to say, hey, how could I take this and put it into a way that's palatable for people, right? Like, so I created this course debt-free in 18 months, and it really just says, hey, set a deadline and then work backwards, right? So, I mean, the goal doesn't have to be 18 months, but that was ours, so that's why I did it. So let's just say someone had $18,000 in debt, right? And you say, hey, 18 months, I'm going to pay that off. So that means I need to come up with $1,000 each month. Well, it doesn't mean you need to have that much income necessarily. You could have cut your expenses $500, which most people could actually do, and then increase your income $500. So now it's like, okay, well, how do I decrease my expenses? Well, I'm going to do that by cutting my cable, cutting the gym membership I never use, you know, not going out to eat every week, go out every other week. And all of a sudden there's an extra $500. And then how do you get the income? Well, okay, I could drive for Uber every weekend for, you know, 18 months, right? And make that $500 or whatever, $125 a weekend. And so really just making it palatable for people to say, hey, how can I get to where I want to be?
I love it. Yeah. I mean, it really is that simple. Do you have any favorite side hustles or any places that you recommend people start if they're reduce their expenses and now it's time to make some cash?
Well, so my favorite is what I call garage sale arbitrage. So my grandma used to be an antique dealer and she would go to yard sales and look for antiques. Well, I'm not really into antiques and I don't know much about them. So I don't recommend ever doing something you don't know anything about, right? So I'm into electronics. So I would go to a yard sale and let's just say there was a Game Boy, right? And like I'm talking about old school 90s Game Boy. And they'd have a whole bunch of Game Boy games. Well, you could actually look up on your phone, like on the Amazon app, and say, hey, like Mario Brothers 3 or whatever on there. And it will tell you, hey, this game's going for $25 on Amazon. And they're asking a dollar for it, right? Mm-hmm. So you buy it for a dollar, sell it for $25. Textbooks, right? Textbooks go for a lot of money if they're newer. So, you know, you can actually scan the barcode at a yard sale. And, you know, I'm usually a little bit like kind of nonchalant about it. I'm not like just in front of a guy scanning something. I'll pick it up. I'll walk around. I'll just scan it. I'll see how much it's worth. And the reality is people in yard sales, like they're just trying to get rid of a ton of stuff in a short period of time. So they could easily go and do this themselves, but they don't want to, right? So really this is a good opportunity to get stuff at a very reasonable price, resell it, you know, make $100 a weekend, you know, and just doing something that doesn't take a lot of time. And kind of low risk because you can see what stuff's already selling for.
I love that approach too. I think that's a smart way to go. My fiance recently started doing that too, which is like electronics on Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace. And it's a nice chunk of change. At first, I was kind of poo-pooing the idea. And then he started showing me how much he was actually making. I'm like, dude, what can I sell? I was immediately inspired.
Yeah. And that's the thing is it is an inspirational process. So my wife, when we were paying off debt, you know, I was doing this and she had some designer clothes that she didn't wear anymore. And we're like, hey, I wonder how much this is going for on eBay. And she was able to sell a dress for $30-$40, you know, or whatever. And it all adds up, right?
That's so cool. I love that process. And I like too that you mentioned she was selling her own stuff because I think that's a pretty decent way to start is like look around the house. What kind of stuff do you have that you can get rid of? Do you have any like advice for, and I fall into this trap too, I really do, but that almost that mental barrier of you're like, okay, I can flip this for $10 and I paid $2, but it's such a, I mean, it's a big profit margin, but it's a small profit. So sometimes I think people see that and they're like, eh, is it really worth it? Myself included, I've been there. Any advice for the people like me?
Yeah. So, you know, you set that barrier, right? Like, yeah. I think at one point I set the barrier of, I want my profit to be at least $20. Right. And then it went to like at least $50. And so, you know, you start to look for different items, you know, but I think you have to work your way there. Like, I almost encourage people to start small and just see how it works. You know, cause yeah, it can be a lot of trips to the post office, right? It can be a lot of answering questions if you're doing these little menial small items, right? But routers were a great one. Like, I could buy a router for $5 at a yard sale and sell it for 50 or 60 or 80 bucks on Amazon. And so the reality is you can start to find those items that do have higher profit margins and not take a lot of your time.
I love it. And stuff that you know about too. I think that was the key piece there, is stay within your lane and just sell stuff that you actually have a little bit of knowledge about. Good advice. So in your course, does that also like walk people through roughly how to get started on some type of a side hustle?
Yeah. Yeah. So the last module is basically ways to decrease your expenses and increase your income. Yeah. So the whole idea is really give you practical tips, kind of like the Uber deal. In fact, I don't even think that one's in there. I just gave that away for free, but yeah, everybody knows you could drive for Uber, right? But yeah, the idea is really to give kind of multiple options for, you know, any schedule, right? People work crazy hours, you know, 50, 60 hour weeks. Some people work 12 hour days. Like, some people can do morning stuff, some people can't. So really there's options for anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. So let's talk about this book, You Can Retire Early. What was the inspiration behind the book and what kinds of things do you include in there?
Yeah. So I've always been fascinated with the idea of financial independence, right? Like, passive income. You know, you have two different types of income, which are active income, which is what 99% of people make, right? It's like, you go to work, you get paid, you go to work, you get paid. And then there's passive income, where it's like, you work one time and you get paid again and again and again. And I was like, well, how do people do that, right? Like, cause that sounds cool. And so then I, you know, went on this pursuit of like, well, what are the three, or not, well, I figured out it's three main ways that people do it, but what are the main ways people do it? Well, real estate, stock market, and business. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, real estate and stock market can be very complicated, and but they're definitely doable, right? But they definitely take capital. So really works well for people that make high incomes, lawyers, doctors, you know, people that can stock away 40, 50, 60 grand in cash to be able to buy a piece of property as a rental and, you know, manage it, that kind of thing. The stock market's pretty good for anybody, but then again, you know, you just need to pay attention to it, right? So understanding it, doing research, you know, looking at index funds versus single stocks. And then you have business, which I'm a huge fan of, because really it's like, you could have a business doing garage sale arbitrage, right? Like, you could literally just spend your time going to garage sales, buying stuff and flipping it. You know, there's people that do that with thrift store stuff, right? Flea markets. You know, there's, my buddy buys cars on Craigslist and then flips them. You know, I mean, I remember listening to my buddy Nick. He has a show called The Side Hustle Show, and he had a guy that sharpens barber scissors for like,
what?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, he gets paid $50 a shear or whatever. And, you know, if he did like five of those in a day, that's $250 a day, right? So, I mean, you could do anything and make money. And so, so really, yeah, the book is about kind of helping people see what path works for them. Is it real estate? Is it stock market? Is it business? And then really gives case studies of people, like real people that's, you know, hey, this guy is a plumber and makes 50 grand and his wife's a teacher and she makes 40 grand and together it's 90 and they stock away 40 grand for a certain amount of years and it grows at this rate and they're able to retire, you know, in 10 years. So it's really kind of making it these really clear roadmaps, and people could say, hey, I want that. I could do that. We make 90 grand a year and we could live on that, and let's do it, you know?
That's so cool. I love case studies because I think that's what really humanizes the whole process, when you see somebody that you can relate to or a story and you're like, oh my God, that's exactly how much I'm making. How did he know? And I just think that's the coolest thing in the world. Do you have a favorite case study from the book that has really stood out to you?
You know, there's a few, but I would say, there's this one of Josh and Stephanie, and I want to say it's like a real estate one, right? Cause I think that, you know, the average person could do it, but you have to be able to live on a lot less and stock away money. So, you know, let's just say that you're making 80 grand a year, right? Combined. And you're able to stock away 30 grand for a couple of years. You got 60 grand, you buy a property, right? You put 20% down, you know, and then the idea is you get another property for another 2 years, you know? So all of a sudden in 4 years, you've got $4,000 in income coming in of net profit from these different properties. And you're, you know, that's 48 grand a year. It's almost 50 grand a year. So if you can live on 50 grand a year after what's that, 6 to 8 years of buying properties, well, then you can retire, right? So it makes it very simplistic. Obviously, there's a lot of moving parts, right? Like sure. you have to manage tenants, and you know. But it, you know, if you're a handy person, like a guy who's a plumber or a guy who's in construction, it's very easy to say, "Hey, I can go fix a toilet or a sink or replace a dishwasher," you know. And so it's really just kind of knowing that it's possible for anybody, and you just got to choose the path that works best for you.
I love it. So what's the path that's working best for you right now? What's your strategy?
So our strategy is business. And you know, what's interesting is, you know, I've always been interested in business. I remember I started, our first business was called R&D Landscaping. And so I was like 10 years old. So my friend Rick, and my name's Deacon. So R&D, we decided we're going to make flyers and just walk down the, you know, the street and just see who wants like weeds pulled or lawns mowed or, you know, cut some bushes or whatever. You know, and so it's, or, you know, my mom would go to Costco. Actually, I think it was called Sam's Club or whatever at the time. Or the one that we went to. And, I'd buy mechanical pencils, you know, and then I would sell them on test day at school. Right.
Oh,
everybody needs to have a number two pencil to take a Scantron test. Right. So, you know, it's, I always love that idea of like finding opportunities and then figuring out a way to make money with it, you know? And so right now I have, you know, a lot of different sources. I have three different businesses, but, you know, having affiliate marketing has been a huge thing for me, is figuring out, you know, what are products that I really love, you know, that really add value to people's lives. And then how do I get them in front of people, and make money that way. And so I have a business that does 6 figures a year just from affiliate marketing alone, which is ridiculous, because I would have never thought that was possible. But I've seen, you know, friends that have done it. I'm like, wow, if they could do it, then maybe I could do it too.
I love that. And so for the business that I think people are listening and they're like, yeah, I want that all day long. How do I get it? How long did that take you to build up that business too?
Well, so 7 years, but the reality is most of the growth didn't come until like years 5 and 6, right?
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a lot of nothing up front, right? You know, you're just turning the wheels. And then, but then I started getting serious about tracking. And that's what's, I think, important, whether you're paying off debt or starting a business, is the key is tracking stuff, right? Because now I can say, hey, I did this much last month. I want to do this much better next month. What am I going to do to get there, right? Before, the first 5 years, I wasn't tracking at all. It's just kind of like, hey, I'm going to post something and I'm going to hope people do something with it, right? Now I'm like, no, well, how can I change the text so it's more engaging? How can I bold it so that it stands out more? You know, I'm much more intentional about, you know, growing the revenue and helping more people.
I love that. So you were an overnight success after 6 or 7 years.
Right. Yeah.
Congratulations. success. That's Thank so you. Cool. And congrats on the book too. I just have to say, because that is, we were talking a little bit before we're officially recording. I can't even imagine the process that you were going through. If anybody's trying to write a book, can you just like briefly outline what your strategy was to get this book done in time?
Yeah. So the idea is very similar, right? And I almost feel like a broken record, but I think it's important. They say that repetition is the mother of wisdom, right? It's like just understanding like this stuff works across any platform. So writing a book, you know, I have to get it done in a year. Well, then I'm going to do one chapter every month, right? And that gives me some buffer. And then that way, you know, it gives enough time to kind of read, reread, make edits, you know, and working with a publisher, actually I had a couple different editors. So I would send stuff, and the one editor would send me back, and then another editor would send back. So it was kind of a an arduous process, but it was definitely worth it. But yeah, and especially if you set those goals of, hey, I'm gonna do it in bite-sized chunks so it's more palatable.
Okay, I gotta ask, because I have wanted to write a book for a long time, and I definitely have a few books in me. But one of the things that I always think about with that is, I could imagine that writing a book would either make you feel like an amazing writer or the worst writer in the world. So what was that for you?
Okay, so I learned a phrase, done is better than perfect. You know, I think that the reality is nothing is ever perfect, right? You'll read something, you're like, gosh, I could make that better. And then you read it and you're like, I can make that better. And it's like, well, you'll never write a book unless you just say it's done, you know, and you just keep moving forward. And so, you know, that's why I think some authors get better over time, right? It's like, if you read their first work, it might not be their best, but you know, into their 10th and 15th or whatever, and you're like, wow, this is really good, right? It took a lot of practice. It took a lot of iterations to get there. And so really just saying, like, being okay with, hey, this is quality, right? Like, you could always fine tune things, you could always tweak things, but sometimes you just got to hit publish.
Yep. It's true. I remember the first blog post. I was recently going back through all of my content, doing an audit to make sure which articles were irrelevant, which ones did I need to fix. And I remember looking at one of my first blog posts. I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? It was so bad, so bad. But if I never pushed publish, I never tried, it's like you don't get anywhere. So I think that's good advice, man, for sure.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, it was something that I learned after 7 years, right? Yeah. So hopefully just don't take all the time that I took and just, you know, say, okay, I'm just going to start doing this today.
I feel you. I'm right there with you, man. I'm in the exact same boat. I'm like, oh man, why did it take so long? Like, I should have just did stuff faster, sooner, whatever it is. But regardless, I think you're kicking butt and you're taking names and it's amazing. So for the book specifically, if people want to go purchase it, they can pre-order it right now. Where do they go to do that? Is there a best place?
Yeah, so it's going to be at all your standard places, but right now I'm giving a free giveaway, which is it's my course, Debt Free in 18 Months. It's a $97 course for free if you buy it, pre-order the book. I know. So the idea was, like, I want more people to take the course because I want people to get out of debt, but I also wanted to give people so much value that they're like, hey, I got to get this book. So sorry.
You and me, if you both, go to, man.
I know. If they go to wellkeptwallet.com/retire, we'll tell them everything they need to know about getting the book and getting it and getting the free course.
That is so incredibly generous. So it's wellkeptwallet.com/retire for people to be able to get your course for free and pre-order the book. What's the cost of the book right now for pre-order?
I think it's like $11 or $12.
You're like giving it away. That's so cool. So I appreciate you doing that. I think that's incredibly generous. And I hope a lot of the listeners take you up on that offer, because I personally want to go through your course. I'm debt-free already, but I think you can always learn a little extra things here and there. And especially the side hustle piece. That's specifically interesting to me. Deacon, do you have any final words of wisdom or any parting thoughts that you want to leave with our listeners before we officially go our separate ways?
Yeah. So if you're sensing doubt right now, that's normal, right? Like, I never thought that I would pay off debt in 18 months. I hoped I would, right? But I developed a plan and I did it. I never thought that I retired early. I hoped I would, but the reality is we're on track to be retired by 42. And I'm never going to retire necessarily. I just want to be able to have freedom, right? I think most people, if you're listening to this, you just want freedom. And so to have the financial freedom to say, I want to work when I want to, who I want to work for, and spend my life the way I want to live it, right? So if that's you and you want that freedom, I definitely encourage you, just not wait, take the action steps to make that happen today.
By buying the book and getting the free course. Come on, guys.
Even if you don't buy it, just start. But yes, that would be helpful too.
That would be very helpful. I mean, it's definitely something that I'm excited for you. Writing a book is amazing. It's an incredible accomplishment. So I just want to thank you again for putting your words out into the world and helping people become better with money. That's so cool.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was a long process, but I'm hoping that a lot of people, their lives are changed for the better, and even, you know, their families' lives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure it will be too. So once again, guys, wellkeptwallet.com/retire. Go there, get the book, learn about his course, join in the party, and make sure that you're taking action on all of the steps that we've listed today. This is an episode that I think we're going to all have to go back through and re-listen to, because there's a lot of good nuggets there. Deacon, you're a rock star. Thanks so much for hanging out, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, what'd you guys think? So much fun, right? I love this episode. I thought it was so interesting. personally, I kind of want to become an author myself. I'm a wannabe author, but eventually I'll write a book and you guys will all know about it before anybody else, probably even before my mom, if I'm being honest. So anyways, regardless, there were so much cool things that I really appreciate about Deacon sharing his story and a little bit about his process of helping people too. The thing that stood out to me most though is how you can actually pay off debt on any size of income. That's the part that I thought was really cool. I loved that he shared that his wife was a teacher and he was selling floors. I think that's a good place to start. And so much of the time we think that you have to have these like huge high paying jobs in order to pay off debt and retire early, when realistically that's not the case. Anybody can do this stuff if you have a little bit of hustle, a little bit of grit, and you're willing to make the sacrifice. All right, guys, I hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as I did. If you did, leave me a review, subscribe, let me know what you thought of this episode and how it impacted you. What changes are you going to make in your own financial life? Thank you so much for joining in, and I will see you all next week for another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast. Bye.